Thank you, Marcus, so much for bringing us worship through song this morning. And next week, we're going to have an official transition, announcement, etc. You'll be watching for it in the e-news this week. But I do want to let you know that Marcus is going to be, as of today, joining us as our full-time worship director and evangelism and discipleship director. So welcome. Welcome. We're happy that God has brought Marcus and Stephanie and the whole gang that includes Eric, to be a part of our body. And we will show our appreciation next week for Lisa and Marcus Winston for having served for, they probably know the exact number of weeks, the exact number of hours, the exact number of minutes that they have been filling in as interim worship directors, because they put their whole heart in being into that. And so I just want to say thank you, and we will do that in a bigger way and a better way next week. But I just wanted to let you all know about the changes God is making in this body. And today is a Connection Sunday. That's why we have tables set up. And hey, we sprung for colored tablecloths. It's a big one this week. And we are in a series, and it began last week, called Life in Community. And it's a colorful series. You will see in a moment. But you can see by the tablecloths. And that series was begun last week by a man named Ed Skipper, who came and gave us a special sermon on sharing our faith and how sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do, yet it's the thing that we are commanded to do by God. That's why we're here. That's why we're a church. That's why we're a community. And life in a church body takes on various facets. And first and foremost, we are to share God's love and the words of the good news of Jesus Christ and his salvation to the world. He doesn't want anyone to go without hearing the message of his love and his desire to partner and reconcile and just have a growing love affair with God. And that's the second reason we're here in community, is to grow deeper in our love for God. It's an ongoing process. Life in community is about love, love of God, and love for one another. And life in community is also about fellowship and partnership. We are here together because we are sharing in our partnership and our life together. And we are doing that through a meal today. But we are also doing that because God told us to meet together and worship him in a group. He never commanded any one of us to be an island. Jesus was not an island and alone in this world. He brought people together with him. He chose 12 people to walk very, very closely with him. Out of those 12, he selected 3 that were like his closest friends. And they expanded and extended and reached out to their community. So life in community has to do with us individually as we grow in love more and more with God, us together as a community as we partner and come together and support each other and share our lives, and as we impact the world around us. Now, in addition to that, today we are also part of, being the Free Methodist denomination, we are part of what's called Pray Together Sunday. And the Free Methodist denomination has asked us to join with other denominations across the nation for the purpose of a concerted, unified prayer among Christians. And we certainly want to partner with other like-minded people to bring the kingdom, to bring the good news, to bring about the mission of Jesus Christ. The second Sunday of each month is a Connection Sunday. And so far, we have not repeated the activity that we've engaged in. God is very creative, and we try to come up with something new every time. And we try to come up with something fun and something engaging and maybe something a little bit stretching. And so today, we get to experience a love feast. Now, the love feast that we're experiencing is derived from early church practices. It was one of the fascinating yet least understood aspects of an early church practice. It likely grew out of the observations of life in the first century church found in the book of Acts. For example, Luke writes this in Acts 2, 46 and 47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, they being the early believers, that first church community. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts praising God. Ate together with glad and sincere hearts praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. In early centuries, Christians in communities developed certain practices of holding formal love feasts. At those love feasts, the people would participate in three activities. First of all, they would wash each other's feet, per Jesus' demonstration with his disciples at the Last Supper. They would also share in a fellowship meal, and then they would share in the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper or have communion together. And these practices apparently largely fell out of common usage for centuries. The Moravians, which were a group of people who were very Bible-based Christians, who lived in an area that's now the Czech Republic and Slovakia, they participated in love feasts, as well as a group called the Brethren, who were originated in Germany. They participated in the love feast. Now, John Wesley, that should be a rather familiar name to all of you, or at least some of you. John Wesley was the founder of Methodism, and we derive our heritage from the Methodists. We are Free Methodists. Come take the membership class sometime if you don't know why we're free. But we are Free Methodists, but we derive our heritage from the Methodists. And John Wesley, he was an Englishman, and he was also in the States. He brought Methodism to the States, but he returned to England. And during that time, he joined together with the group of Moravians. So those are the ones from the Czech Republic and Slovakia, very Bible-based. And what he experienced when he was with the Moravians was their tradition of a love feast. And he liked that tradition. He liked that community feel. And so he subsequently adapted the love feast into Methodist practice. And I don't know if any of you have heard of love feasts before. It's you who have heard of it. Oh, we have a brethren with us. Okay, you did the love feast with the three. That's very interesting. Okay, with the three different traditions. Well, here's Wesley's own words about his use of the love feast. In a small group, he called a band. So that was his terminology for the small group. He said, in order to increase a grateful sense of all God's mercies, I desire that one evening every 3 months, all men in the band, on a second, all the women would meet, and on the third, both men and women meet, that we might together eat bread as the ancient Christians did with gladness and singleness of heart. At these love feasts, so we termed them, retaining the name as well as the thing which was to use from the beginning. Our food is only a little plain cake and water, but we seldom return from them without being fed, not only with the meat which perisheth, but that which endureth to everlasting life. Today, I hope you came hungry for food. We have food. But I hope you came hungry for God, for that which doesn't perish. And if you didn't come in hungry for God and just had food on the mind, I hope that as we are looking at this love feast and the purpose and our relationship with God and the reason we're here in community, that your hunger for God and for spiritual growth increases. So Free Methodists have historically observed the Love Feast as a standalone opportunity. The good news for you today, beyond the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel, is that we're not going to wash each other's feet, and we're not going to have communion. But we are going to take part of the ceremony of the Love Feast, as well as sharing bread together. But historically, the Love Feast service was characterized by the singing of hymns, a devotional challenge regarding one's love relationship with God, testimonies, extemporaneous prayer, which just means spontaneous, spirit-led prayer, and the breaking of bread, symbolizing the meal shared by early Christians between brothers and sisters. So today, before we have our love feast, Christina is going to walk us through an abbreviated version of a love feast. So I will leave that there for you, Christina, and you can lead us through our love feast.
Thank you very much, Pastor Carlene. In 1 John 4, 7 through 12, John tells us, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." Today we celebrate the most holy love of all, the love that God has for us. This is a perfect love. As we proceed in our love fest, which will culminate in the potluck that we'll be eating together, we will first hear a devotional message out of Psalms. As you listen to the words of the psalmist, keep in mind the spirit with which we are gathered. Take the time to meditate on this devotional and make it the prayer of your heart as you prepare to participate in the observation of God's holy love. Open yourself up deeply and let the words from Psalms guide you in reflection. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Again, don't just listen to these words, but make them your heart's prayer today. Let me read them again and allow each of us to soak them in. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Phase of the Love Feast invites your response. From the psalmist's plea that has become our prayer, allow me to ask you some questions of reflection. Between each question, you will be given time to reflect and respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Through this exercise, it becomes apparent that the Love Feast, though celebratory of God's love and gift of salvation, is an earnest time to check our own faith walk and center our thoughts on God. Allow me now to ask you the questions for your consideration and reflection. The questions will also appear on the screens. Am I willing to know myself and accept responsibility for what I am and for what I do, or do I blame others? Am I listening to others so I may understand them? Or do I think only of my own thoughts when others speak? Am I receptive to God's call and obedient to his leading in my life? Finally, in response to the plea of our heart for God to search us and make known what is in our heart, please stand with me now, if you are able, and join me in prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning, and we know that you are, in fact, a good, good Father. You watch our every step as we journey through this world. You know when we're about to misstep. You guide us. You're there behind us as we travel through life like a father would teaching his child to ride a bicycle. You're there to pick us up when we fall. Please help us to be able to reach out to you for that love and that support and that goodness that comes from you, only you. Help us to keep you in our hearts and our minds and in our sight at all times. Father God, we are so thankful for the opportunity to be gathered in front of you this morning, enjoying this love feast with our family, this wonderful New Vision family that we have. We are so grateful, and we know that the opportunity comes only from you. Please, Lord, bless us as we go through the rest of our day. Help us to keep you in sight. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Benediction. Go forth to love God and your neighbor in all you do. Go to live as witnesses to Jesus Christ in the world and to follow his teachings through acts of kindness, justice, worship, and devotion. May the Holy Spirit pour into your heart God's love through Jesus Christ, who said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." John 1 or John 13:35.